You can let me know if this worked. I had you stand during that whole reading. It's part of the Jesu exercise program, so one of the exercises of Lent is health and stuff. So, speaking of Lent, how goes it? We're more than halfway through. Anybody still on track? Good. I'm among friends. Today's gospel talks about blindness and sight and sin and the glory of God. And it seems to me one of the questions we can deal with is, why do we give up on Lent? You know, why do we give up on New Year's resolutions? We set a path. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. I'm one of those Irish existentialists who thinks the data behind that is very interesting. So that's what I want to mention here. Fasting, prayer, and almsgiving. When I fast, I get irritated. And I don't like being hungry, so I eat. When I give alms, I get concerned, am I going to have enough when I give? When I pray, I expect God to come across with consolation. And when it don't happen, I realize I'm allergic to my vulnerability and quit. That ring any bells? What's the deal about being blind? What's the deal about bringing into the light to expose what is in darkness? And I think what I find now is that my Lenten resolution, which is this, I'm going to give away 8 things a week for a year. So Lent's going to go a year. I had 3 weeks of clothing I just gave away. I've got 6 weeks of books lined up I'm going to give away. And it drives me crazy because I find that my stuff, having stuff, makes me comfortable. And to part with it, feel lots of anxiety. And that's what I choose. Now, do I reflect on that every day? No. Don't want to go there. But I'm coming to believe more and more that that place in life of avoidance is pay dirt. Is the place to go. So here are a couple little tidbits about this passage in John, looking at the Greek words. In quoting in chapter 12, Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah. They could not believe, as Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts so that they may not look with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. This is the story of the Pharisees in this passage. They would not see. They would not look. They were blinded. Their hearts were hardened. The difference between the Pharisees and this this guy born blind was that he knew he was blind. And they didn't. And they wouldn't look to see their blindness. And so they continued on in their little world, judging Jesus implicitly and the blind guy implicitly. Because they would not look. And what would they not look at? It seems to me, and I'll offer this for your consideration, they would not look at what fueled their actions, their inner fears, their grudges, sense of inadequacy against someone who's becoming so popular and who heals, their own sense of unworthiness. What they didn't see because they were blind is how, in this instance, they made the guy who was born blind pay the price for not dealing with their fears. That's what we do. People, we have a lot of confessions here, so it's no surprise that here are confessions here at Jesu. People, the two big deals are sex and anger. And the deal about anger it's an avoidance of vulnerability because someone or some event can seem so threatening. We have to get bigger than them and get meaner, louder, so we don't feel small or weak or powerless. That's the part that I believe. Boy, I'm blind to it. I'm learning at least weekly about that. And we don't see that we make others pay the price for our terror at being vulnerable or powerless. So anyone or anything that's perceived as a threat, just go after. Right? And this is precious territory, I must say. This is where we're wounded. This is where, in seeing the guy born blind, who knew he was blind, who knew he was a beggar, as they pointed out later, this guy could be able to see. And so, it was the guy who was born blind who came to be able to see not only Jesus, but I think to see in seeing his own situation, was willing to go to this place and wash the mud off his eye. And it's the Pharisees. And, you know, let's be honest, we all have that side of our lives. This is the other passage it all connects to. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You know that one from all the football games, John 3:16? Indeed, God did not send the son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds might not be exposed. But those who do come to the light, those who do what is true come to the light, that they may be clearly seen that their deeds are done in God. It's not that simple, I think. I think what the deal is in not wanting to see what really drives us, we can go on in a state of blindness and keep punishing others for our own inability to really look at our own lives. And so instead of one possibility would be in confession that instead of coming and saying, you know, I've been a bad little boy or bad little girl, to come and say, I don't know what to do with my fear because I take it out on those closest to me. I don't know what to do with my sense of inadequacy or sense of powerlessness or sense of doing it wrong. The good news is, and I'm here to tell you, the good news is that bringing it to the light thaws some of our frozen hearts in this world. And as we won't hear until ordinary time again, you came to the aid of mortal beings with your divinity and even fashioned for us a remedy out of mortality itself, that the cause of our downfall might become the means of our salvation through Christ our Lord. That's the great news. Coming to the light of Christ thaws some of that. And the cause of our downfall starts to become the means, the very means of our salvation. And again, that's the dangdest best news I've heard in a long time. So perhaps that'll say something to you on this Lenten journey. God bless us all as we make it through the day.